Well, come back in time with me. We're in the part of the world still today known as Jerusalem in Israel and Palestine. The Jerusalem of today is very different to the Jerusalem of about 2,500 years ago. At about 539 BC, King Cyrus of Persia, who had just conquered Babylon, made a proclamation. This proclamation was calling God's people to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Now, God's people, Israel, they were in Babylon because they were exiled from their land due to disobedience to the Lord God. So everyone whose heart God had moved, who were Israelites, departed for Jerusalem. The journey was hard, but they arrived and began building the foundations of the temple. They praised the Lord and sang, "He is good. His love toward Israel endures forever." But there were also tears by some of the older priests and Levites because they remembered the former temple, which was much larger. And then there was opposition to the work, and they were forced to stop by neighboring nations, Samaritans. The work on God's house stopped for 10 or so years, and only when Darius became king of Persia did something happen due to God sending a prophet by the name of Haggai to call God's people to work and obey the Lord God. Before Haggai came, during those 10 or so years, God's people placed more of a priority with serving self rather than serving the Lord Almighty. Now, Haggai is a prophet, and a prophet is a messenger for God. Haggai spoke God's word to God's people, calling them to turn away from living for themselves, to live for God. And we are here today to understand God's word, to consider these words and respond in devotion to Jesus. Today we're focusing on the first sermon by Haggai and the response of the Israelites. Next Sunday we'll focus on the final three sermons of Haggai. Today and next Sunday I want us to grasp that we too need to build God's house. Though not in the physical sense like the Israelites did 2,500 years ago with the temple, but by building up God's people, the everlasting house of God with Jesus as the cornerstone. This is all made possible because of Jesus, so we'll come to him later. So key idea from the sermon, build God's house. And I'm going to take us through the passage today in three stages. Firstly, verses 1 to 4, the call to build. And then verses 5 to 11, the consequences of not building. And verses 12 to 15, building out of obedience to the Lord. So verses 1 to 4, the call to build. This prophet Haggai spoke God's word in the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month. The word of the Lord was spoken through the prophet Haggai. This is a powerful moment. Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, key leaders of the day, they hear from God, the living God, the only God. God is the creator, and no one is more powerful than he. And we also had the privilege of hearing God's word today. Well, verse 2, this is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. The Israelites have stopped building the temple because they initially were forced. They were forced to stop. But then there was no plan to start building the temple again. The temple is the Lord's house so that God will dwell amongst his people in the temple. The Israelites were to offer animal sacrifices to be atoned for their sin at the temple. God is holy and compassionate, and he would forgive their sin through the death of an animal. Life for God's people before Jesus was very different. Sin was meant to be felt very tangibly as sacrifices were offered at the temple. The blood of the animal would be accepted as punishment for sin rather than the blood of a person. If you read through Numbers, the fourth book of the Bible, you learn that the Israelites on the first day of every month would offer a burnt offering at the temple so that God's people could come before God And then also to offer animals to atone for sin. Haggai speaks God's word on the first day of the sixth month to call God's people to build God's house so that sacrifices can be made again. Without a sacrifice, there is no forgiveness of sin. Without forgiveness of sin, people are awaiting fiery judgment from God. So verse 3, Haggai receives the word of the Lord again. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? The Lord wants his people to feel this deep down. The Lord is angry with his people for neglecting him and just thinking about themselves. The Israelites in Jerusalem have been called by God to build his house. Well, as a child, I played and enjoyed doing what interested me, as I'm sure many of you would. I would do what was good, but many times I would do what is evil. I chose to do wrong, such as disobeying my mum and dad. When I was told to do a job, I would ignore and continue with what I wanted to do. My interests at the time seemed more important to me. Playing a video game or playing with toys was more important to me. I would get reminders, but I do recall my mum telling me on one occasion, I'm sure there were more, but I remember one, that God tells you as a child to obey your mum and dad. Now, Colossians chapter 3, verse 20 affirms the command. That was a call from God to obey my mum and dad. So was I going to ignore God's call on my life or obey? I can tell you many times I didn't obey, but there were times I did, and sadly, not as quickly as I should have. So I would say sorry and seek forgiveness. Well, in the book of Haggai, the Lord God speaks through Haggai to call God's people to build his house. God's people are meant to obey their God. Haggai has done his role as a prophet, but the sermon hasn't finished. The word of the Lord now comes through Haggai to reveal the consequences of not building God's house. So verses 5 to 11, the consequences of not building. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You planted much but harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink but never have your fill. You put on clothes and are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. God now focuses on the problems in their lives due to their lack of devotion to him. The lives of God's people don't particularly demonstrate being blessed by God. They eat but never have enough. Hard to imagine what this is like day after day. You put on clothes but are not warm. Again, hard to imagine day after day. There are some serious problems present for the Israelites. So verse 7, the word of the Lord continues through Haggai. Give careful thought to your ways. How true is this still today? We also need to give careful thought to our ways. Are we pleasing God with our lives? Are we obeying Jesus? God's people are called to build God's house. Verse 8, they had to go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build God's house so that the Lord God may take pleasure in it and be honored. Here the Lord Almighty gives a reason for the building of his house to happen, that he may take pleasure in it. Pleasure is a gift from God, and God will have pleasure when his house is built. This stems back to the purpose of this house for his people. The temple means an opportunity for his people to confess their sins and be atoned for their sins by the sacrifice of animals. An opportunity for his people to be at peace with the Lord and forgiven. The temple is also the place where the Lord would dwell amongst his people. He couldn't be amongst them without the temple because he is holy, and his people would die because of their sin, because they're not perfect like God. God will be pleased to have his house built so he could be amongst his people. But not just pleasure, so that he would be honored. You could also say be glorified. The temple is a stark reminder to God's people that they need forgiveness from God. Their sin, because their wrongdoing offends God and hurts him. So building the temple demonstrates to the Lord God that Israel recognizes they need God to live. Building God's house demonstrates to the Lord that Israel wants the Lord amongst them, to be with them. God is worthy of all honor and glory. Without the temple, Israel brings shame on the Lord because they ignore God's commands and live their own way. God wants to be honored, not shamed. This is right and good since he is the creator of life. Well, in verse 9, we learn more about the consequences of not building God's house. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. God's people suffered because of disobedience to God. They didn't receive in life what they expected because of their sin. Instead of building God's house, they are busy with their own houses. Instead of prioritizing God first, they made self more important. They forgot that to truly live and be comforted, they need to serve God first. So verse 10, therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. God has actively caused problems for the Israelites to punish them. God called a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. This is all encompassing. They had forgotten about God, their provider. So God had stopped providing. They are turning away from him and making their own priorities rather than putting God first on their priority list. Many times in my life have I recognized when I have made my own priorities most important rather than God's purposes for me. You might be able to see that too. In Hobart, when I wasn't a paid assistant minister, I had to make choices before church to be ready to go to church on Sunday. Our family generally had the goal to arrive earlier than the start time to serve, at least half an hour earlier. A few others would arrive an hour early or more. And why did I do this? Because I knew that being hospitable and serving God's people is such a privilege. Not only are we serving God's people for church and building up the body of Christ, but some people might come who are not yet followers of Jesus. So we can build God's house, the people of God now, through providing a warm welcome for visitors. We want to see more people come into God's house for eternity. But there were times when I wouldn't use Saturday evening to prepare for coming to church, and I'll focus on my own priorities, such as going to bed later due to movies or scrolling on digital media. I'll not be ready to serve my family in the morning and make my comfort more important. The result is we would get to church later than planned and we missed out on good opportunities and were worse off. Now, you might not have the same problems as me, but you would have interests that can become more important than serving Jesus. Others could be video games, television shows, alcohol, food, music, sport, and the list goes on. Now, some Sundays we won't be at church. I'm not focusing on that, but rather what are our expectations for church? And what do you think your role is in building up the church? There are consequences to putting God second on your list of priorities. Only through Christ and remembering him can we keep putting Jesus and building his house first on our list of priorities. We need to build out of obedience to the Lord. So verse 12 to 15, building out of obedience to the Lord. Verse 12, the response from God's people is to obey God's word. So many times in God's word, as you've probably read, do we read about God's people disobeying. But here they obey. Fear of the Lord seemed to be important here. The people recognize that God is their provider and he holds life in his hands. The people recognize they could be destroyed for their sin, but they have experienced God's mercy through the warning from Haggai. Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gives a short message to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. That would have been immensely comforting. God's people have been told that they were busy with their own houses rather than building God's house, and now they know they need to obey and build the house of the Lord. So verse 14, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month. The Lord worked in the hearts of his people to get them to work on his house. The Lord God changed the priorities of his people through using Haggai to proclaim his word and then by stirring up the spirit of his people. The people of God needed God to enable them to obey. This just highlights our need of God for change. In our broken state, we don't live as God would want us every moment. The sin that we bear taints our lives, and without God, we would continue to live more and more for ourselves. And living against God's will brings guilt and a right sense of shame. We need to receive forgiveness from God. And we need God to intervene, just like he intervened for the Israelites in stirring up their spirits and sending Haggai to do the work of building God's house. Now, God's intervention for us in Kununurra today is far grander and eternal. God intervened primarily in a big wow moment through sending Jesus, his son, to earth as a baby born of a woman. This son intervened for us so that the guilt we bear due to our sin can be taken away. Sin brought about death in humanity. And God demands death for sin, which is right and just. So what was God the Father to do? His people couldn't keep offering animal sacrifices at the temple. They kept messing that up. He needed his perfect son to die, for his blood to be shed so that humanity could have peace with God, forgiveness of their wrongdoing. Jesus willingly obeyed and died for us as a sacrifice. And Jesus did this knowing that after 3 days he would rise from the dead, conquering death, so that death would no longer be the end for humanity. God is life, and he wants his people to have life everlasting. Now all who confess their sin to God and trust Jesus are bound up in Jesus. We are part of the body of Christ. And this is made possible because after Jesus rose from the dead, he then ascended to his Father in heaven. And then Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be with his brothers and sisters. God's people are one in Christ. In a spiritual reality, we are the body of Christ with Jesus Christ as the head. And we have the Holy Spirit within us who transforms us. So for us to change, we have the Holy Spirit daily working in us to change us to be more like Christ. And we need to keep being dependent on Jesus, turning away from sin and longing for him. And God will use that to transform us day by day. So be encouraged. God is for you in Christ. If you haven't yet turned away from living in sin and decided that you will serve Jesus forever, then today is as good a day as any. God is against you if you continue to live your own way. God being against you is no fun place to be, but rather a terrible place to be. But as you come to God the Father, He's ready to receive you. Well, as we heard earlier, the Apostle Peter describes God's people now as living stones being built into a spiritual house, since Jesus is the living stone and precious cornerstone. Believers in Jesus are being built up upon Jesus. As we think about building God's house today, we first need to think about the majesty of Jesus. Adore Him and obey Him. We need to repent, to turn away from when we make something more important than Jesus, and show love in Christ. We think about the momentous gospel of Jesus Christ and keep that central to our work and our service. And out of adoration of Jesus, we think about what can we do that will be a blessing to my brother or sister. We think about how can we serve one another in love so that those who don't know Jesus will be able to hear the gospel clearly. And we think about what encouragement can I give my brother and sister as they serve Jesus in this world. So as you interact with people at church, social groups, in your work, in your neighborhood, in your family, remember that you are part of the body of Christ, God's house today. Your first priority is to Jesus. You represent the church. You represent Jesus first and foremost. So live, work, and speak in such a way to commend Jesus to the world. Coming to church isn't just another thing to do for God's children. Coming to church is life-giving and refreshing as we build up one another. If you don't feel that's happening for you, then be the change maker. Be the one who works hard to be a blessing. Write a card. Speak an encouraging word regarding what you value in someone. Send an encouraging text message. Pray. Talk about Jesus together. Invite someone to your house. Join a growth group. Serve joyfully. Go somewhere with someone. Invite someone to church. Share life with people. We are a beacon of light to a dark world. So let's build God's house together. If we don't build God's house, then the body of Christ in Kununurra will dwindle and weaken. I don't want to think about the effects of the community here if we don't build God's house. And what would God think of us if we didn't do this together? Do you want to see a Kununurra where another 100 locals give their life to Jesus because they want to obey Jesus, their Saviour? And do you want to see a church that stands out for their love to Jesus and to one another, not because we are so great, but because we are utterly dependent on Jesus, that He keeps humbling us to love genuinely? If you're not sure how to go about doing this and how to serve Jesus with this church, then please chat to me or someone. One day, with Christ Jesus in the new creation, we will look back on our lives and know none of our efforts with Jesus were wasted. None of them. What would be wasted is staying as we are and not wanting to be more like Jesus because the pain of change was too much. So let's build God's house. Please join me as I pray. Heavenly Father, thank You that we can be part of Your house today, grounded on Jesus, our cornerstone. Father, please work in us to keep adoring Jesus, to keep remembering we need Him as we turn away from sin, come to Him longing to be more like Your Son, Jesus, as we love others, as we show patience, as we show gentleness and faithfulness to You. And Father, may we remember that as we keep grounding ourselves in Christ Jesus and serving God's people, we are building God's house. Building God's house on this earth, not just for this earth, but for eternity. Our eternal lives are at stake here, Father. Remind us that we want to see not just ourselves as brothers and sisters of your Son Jesus in eternity, but we want to see more people who are not in your house, who are distant and are apart from you. We want them to come and join us. So give us confidence in your gospel, that we would commend Jesus to the world and that we would love one another genuinely as we do it. Please, Father, by your Holy Spirit, transform us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.